Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Yeah, and if you're the winner of that cash machine, well, then you might not need too big of a mortgage. As CEO at Fairstone Ireland and personal finance expert Paul Merriman is with me in studio today to, really, help us better understand our mortgage interest rates. Paul, how's things?
Yes, I'm great, thank you. You?
Yeah, not too bad at all, yeah, actually. Great. Not too bad at all. First of all, you might tell us about what's there, what's available.
Yeah, so look, I think the main thing here for listeners is there's 10 lenders in the Irish marketplace. A lot of people mainly familiar with the likes of AIB, Bank of Ireland and Permanent TSB, the main three pillar banks is what they're called. There's also what's called non-bank lenders in the marketplace. Now, most of the new business, almost 90% of the new business goes through the main three pillar banks. And there's a lot of market share, about 10% of that market share has gone to other providers. So you look at Advance, probably up there is one kind of well known. You have ICS, you have newer money in the marketplace. So various different lenders. What happened last week was that we had an article in the press saying that Ireland is now cheap compared to Europe for the first time in 3 years in relation to mortgage interest rates. And that's the real reason is that practically most of Europe will be linked towards the European Central Bank. And we have tracker rates here in Ireland from back to 2006 or before 2006. There was about 180,000 tracker holders and now under 120,000, meaning 60,000 to 70,000 people have either cleared a mortgage or switched to a fixed rate. Okay. When you look at articles like this, they're saying that we're the cheapest. It's a very, very small. Like I think we were 3.49% on average throughout Europe rather than 3.51. So it's a very, very small margin. And eventually Irish banks will pass the last ECB rate on. So because the banks haven't passed the ECB rate on just yet, technically means we're a little bit cheaper than Europe, which is great. Mm. But they would have passed it on to tracker holders automatically. So tracker holders got the increase, but they just haven't given it to fixed rate or variable rate holders. So today's session is going to be more about what type of mortgage have you got? Do you understand the difference between a fixed rate? Do you understand the difference between a tracker and a variable rate mortgage? And usually people that are on trackers think they're golden. I don't think they're as golden as they used to be because the tracker is always a margin for the bank above what the European Central Bank rate is. And in today's marketplace, you can probably get a really good long-term 15, 20, 25-year fixed rate with someone like Advent Money compared to your tracker where you're never going to see a rate increase again.
Are you better to fix then for those longer periods?
Oh, I think you are. I mean, I think we're in, like technically speaking, probably the lowest environment you're going to see for the foreseeable future today, in my opinion. So, you know, why would you take a 3.5% fixed rate, say, for 3 years when you know you can get a 3.2 or a 3.4, sorry, fixed for up to maybe 20 or 25 years or the remainder of your mortgage? That means you're never going to get a rate increase again. And don't forget, rate increases go along with inflation, so they're cyclical with inflation. So for the next, if you were starting off your home buying a journey today and you've got a mortgage and you've got a tracker, or sorry, you won't have a tracker, you have a variable rate or a fixed rate. Mm. At some point in that period of time, you're going to have higher rates. You're going to get a letter in the post when your mortgage is going to go up, in my opinion. So I'd rather see people, especially from a financial planning point of view, have a fixed rate long-term mortgage.
But I would have thought the problem with fixing for a long period, like the 15 or the 20 years, is that you're probably hoping that at some point that might drop from the 3.5 or the 3.3.
That's just saying it won't, because if you look how the trackers work, so the trackers today, the European Central Bank is, say, 2.4. On top of that's the bank's margin. So if you've got a 1% tracker, so if the European Central Bank has rates at this level because they want to keep inflation around 2%. So if inflation's going to remain at 2%, sorry, it's much higher now, but if they do get it at a baseline of 2 forever, that 2, you're always going to have your bank's margin on top of that. So let's take the bank going to take an average for new mortgages about 1.5% to 1.8%. That means new business, the banks will always be in around 3.5 to maybe 3.8%. So if you can get 3.4 fixed, like in order for rates to go down, that European Central Bank at 2% has to fall substantially. And that's going back into, you know, Armageddon of what happened with the fallout of 2006 when it came to the financial crash, which is kind of once in a 100-year event. So you shouldn't see, like, it's not a healthy economy for interest rates to go back to zero because inflation was zero. That was our kind of crawling out of the depths of 2006-2007's financial crisis. So if inflation is going to be 2, you'll always expect your bank's margin to be about 3.5%.
How much of a bearing does your personal, you know, your circumstances, like if you're a single person taking out a mortgage at 35, are you better to fix or look at a variable rate?
Yeah, I'd say fix. Now, the problem is some of those banks like Advent, for argument's sake, they will not be able to get some of the government schemes that you can with the other banks, for argument's sake. So if you are a single time, if you are a first time single buyer, I would always say try and fix for as long as possible. It gives you a lot of financial security. Mm. You know exactly what's going to go on. I think the problem with Irish people when it comes to this is you're more worried about your neighbours done, and you know, have they got a cheaper rate or rates? Like, you have to go with the information you have today. So I think always fix for as long as you possibly can. Other people don't like fixing because they might move house. You can port your mortgage with the companies that allow you fix long term, which is really good. The other kind of plus with these mortgages, most of them allow you overpay by up to 10% of the capital outstanding compared to the pillar banks. Very difficult to overpay a fixed rate. So if you have a fixed rate, say, with Bank of Ireland.
Do you advise people to overpay in the mortgage if they're in a position to do so? Because I've always been told
shouldn't. I think we discussed this a few weeks ago in relation to what to do with that €50 per week. Remember saying, if you overpay a mortgage by €200 per month, you'll potentially save tens of thousands of interest, but also knock years off your mortgage. I think, investing in pension is probably better from a short to medium long term and looking at tax. The reason why you'd overpay a mortgage, I suppose, first and foremost, is that, especially if you have a 30-year mortgage to maybe 70 years of age, or if you have in your idea that your financial plan and your financial goal is to retire at, say, 60, and your mortgage range is 65, there's no point in retiring and still having the mortgage outstanding because your pension is going to be going to pay your mortgage. So as part of a financial plan, if you are planning on retiring early, I would always have, you know, a recommendation to overpay a mortgage, even slightly, even if it's just €100 per month or one extra payment a year. It will go a long way to saving interest, but also shaving years off your mortgage.
Yeah. Talk about the impact of compound interest and...
Yeah. I mean, from a compound and interest point of view, that's from an investment point of view. Actually, we did this last week. I know you were off, but I'm not sure if you heard this or you seen on my Instagram page, the 1 cent Dublin. Did you see this?
No.
So if you have 1 cent, I'll ask you today on life. Okay, no pressure. If you have 1 cent today and you double it to 2 cent tomorrow and then 4 cent, then 6 cent, and you do that for 30 days, what would you have at the end of the 30 days?
Oh, God, don't ask me off the top of my head now. Go on.
Guess.
Oh, I've no idea. Tell me.
5.34 million.
What?
Yes. Because what happens is your 1 cent goes to 2 and then it gets up to like 1,600, then it gets to 3,206. And eventually in the last 3 days, it goes to from 1.2 to 2.5 to 5 million. So the compounding happens at the last part. Now, it's an extreme example. I was saying this to somebody at a meal over the weekend and they said to me, so if I just went in to, you know, the bookies and I put 1 cent on and it said, well, obviously, yes, but you can't do it. It's impossible to double your money every day for 30 days. The reason why we use that example as financial planners to get people to really understand the magic compound interest. And it usually happens at the end of a period of time. Now, the interesting part of this is that's unlike your mortgage. Your bank actually front loads the interest at the top of your mortgage. And a lot of people don't know that. So when people are buying property and they're getting a mortgage ladder, the vast majority of their first year payments is all going more towards the interest to the bank rather than the capital.
There's nothing worse than looking at you to see how much have I paid off this mortgage and you've barely put a dent in it.
And that's why I'd always say buyer beware when you're thinking of buying what's called a stopgap property. Oh, buy this and move in 5 years, because you might actually be better off renting. By the time you pay the stamp duty, the legal fees, your home insurance, fitting out the property, and then all those different costs, and then the interest on the mortgage, you know, the first 5 years is eating up a lot by your interest.
Listener question for you, Paul, just on this, in 087 1400 106. This texter has a fixed mortgage for the next 4 years. Okay. Can I negotiate it any further, or am I actually stuck in the 4 year contract?
Yeah, you're stuck in the 4 year contract. What you could do, I'm not sure where the bank is, but you could be able to overpay it without paying penalties. Bank of Ireland will allow you to pay over 10% of your monthly repayment. So if it was 2,000 a month, it'd be 2,200 you could pay. If it was Avant, they allow you to pay 10% of the amount outstanding. So if you owe 300k, you could pay 30 grand off. So if you have got something like the Avant mortgage, you could really make a massive impact on clearing it over 4 years if you had the capital to do it. But typically speaking, yes, you're locked into those fixed rates. Some of them have more flexibility than others, though.
Listener says, we're saving for a mortgage at the moment and I'm also clearing my credit card. Am I better to have a credit card with a zero balance or no credit card at all when applying for a mortgage?
Zero balance is absolutely fine. And just to say, you don't have to be completely credit card free from a debt point of view when you're going for a mortgage. You can't have loans and you can't have credit cards outstanding. It was ones that you're not in minimum payments or you're skipping repayments. Like, it's only if you go into a red. So loans and credit cards, the banks, like if you've got a 500 or a 1,000 euro balance on a 5,000 limit and you're drawing down your mortgage, the bank aren't going to care if you're going in for a mortgage. So just don't don't worry about those things too much. Maybe sure you get a consultation of a really good advisor. Even if you're only starting the mortgage process today, it's always, or thinking about starting it, it's always worthwhile getting a consultation today to know exactly what you do. Like I see there's people with car loans and personal loans. They try to clear them, but then they're left themselves cash strapped. You know, so if you have a 10,000 car loan, you might need to clear it.
Often to clear that car loan or the credit card, you're probably taking money out of the house deposit to do it.
That's what I'm saying. And then it takes you longer to save it up. So in some cases, people usually only have to clear their loans if they're really tight when it comes to what's called their affordability. So the bank will give you a figure that they'll say they need on a monthly basis for you to show you can afford. Let's just say the figure is €1,800 per month. If you've got a €200 or €300 car loan and you're quite tight from an income point of view, you might need to clear the car loan to get to that €1,800 a month. But not everybody, especially with two incomes, people are usually okay. They can keep a little bit of debt and decide what to do after they draw the mortgage now.
Just another question, Paul, on this. Will you talk about the loan to value percentage, please? Because I think people don't realise there's often savings to be had by reassessing existing mortgages.
Yeah, 100%. It's really important when you're looking, when you come off that slate for the first tax are in there for the 4-year fixed rate. At the end of the 4-year term, you should be looking to shop around all the banks, not just your own bank. And you should probably have a better loan to value. So loan to value is a ratio of your mortgage towards the value of your property. So let's just say you start off with a 500,000 property and you borrow 450, you've got a 90% loan to value. 10% is the equity, the deposit you put into it. And let's say you go back a few years later and now you've got 400,000 of a loan, you've paid it down, and the property maybe have increased. You could have around 75% loan to value in that case. You will technically, once you're under 80%, get a better rate off some of the banks. And then the lower that goes, especially if you get towards 50% loan to value, you really get a discount off the rates. So it's really important for people to understand that while they're building equity in the property, if they can keep their loan going the right way, which is down, they're going to have a better chat with a bank when it comes towards the end of their fixed rate term. And again, something really important for tracker holders, because tracker holders will probably have property, sorry, they will have property from 2006, so they probably have done exceptionally well value-wise. So they have a really low loan usually and a really high property price. So they're really attractive to banks to deal with because they've got such good loan to values. And to be honest, kind of not really out there in the rules, but from an industry point of view, the lower loan to value, especially for tracker holders, the banks are more willing to accept cases that are maybe outside the norm. So maybe something had something wrong with a credit over the last few years, or if the income wasn't as good, because once the loan to value is loan, the bank is now taking way less risk because they have the security of your house while they're giving you the loan. So the lower loan to value, the more friendly the banks usually are if it comes to favours being needed.
Paul Merriman, CEO at Fairstone Ireland and personal finance expert, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live this Monday to help us make our money work that little bit better.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.